Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
And we made it to Friday. Welcome in as we're in mid-August now, and that means a couple weeks from now we won't be here. We'll be on a college campus, and that sounds quite nice. Let's get going with some headlines. Speaking of college campuses, everybody's been at practice for a few weeks now and down at Auburn. Can a special freshman make a difference? Camden Brown, he's a big-bodied receiver, and they need him because last year Auburn's offense just could not crack up enough production to get Coach Harsin out of harm's way. Meanwhile, over in the West, down in the Bayou, Scott Rabelais reporting, Jaden Daniels, the leader in LSU's three-headed race. He's good. He's got a lot of starts, too, out in Arizona, where he was the starter last year at ASU. Miles Brennan has got a lot of experience, but he keeps getting hurt. Meanwhile, Nussmeier needs a few starts. Dear Andy, you ever wake up thinking about writing a letter to the Athletics' Andy Staples? I'm going to try it right now. Hey, dear Andy, will Georgia have an elite offense? How long can Harbaugh coach? What about that Feinbaum guy on TV? Let's find out by bringing in the aforementioned Andy Staples. Andy, good afternoon. It's 3 weeks before the season, actually two if you think about week zero. What are you doing on this fine Friday?
I'm just shaking with anticipation for Northwestern Nebraska and Dublin in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right.
In one day. I cannot wait. It's unbelievable.
Have you been to Dublin? I have not.
I have not been to Dublin. I have consumed a lot of Guinnesses, but that's as close as I've come. It's the only team Nebraska beat in the Big Ten last year, but then they had an aggregate score that was the same against the other ones, but they lost all again. The weirdest season ever, and Scott Frost has until October 1st when his buyout drops to show that he still gets to keep the job. So I'm fascinated by that game, even though it probably is going to be somewhat ugly.
So speaking of the Big Ten, let's start there because they have owned this week. And they may own next week or the week after as well, once this television deal is officially announced. Everyone's opining on it. Your thoughts on what it means, especially to a league that has played second fiddle to the SEC for a considerable time?
Well, I think from a financial standpoint, they haven't been playing second fiddle to the SEC, and I'm not sure people understand that. This isn't a new thing that the Big Ten is seriously cashing in on a TV deal. They've been doing that. It's just the way this one worked out, they basically are kind of showing how our habits have changed. Because when they did these deals 6 years ago, there was a thought, okay, maybe they won't sell a package to ESPN. But even back then it was, well, you can't not go to ESPN because then ESPN won't talk about you. And if ESPN doesn't talk about you, are you really there? It's like, you know, the tree falls in the forest kind of thing. But the way we consume everything is so spread out now. We all have our podcast or your show or our favorite fan site. And we don't necessarily get all our conversation starters from one place anymore. We go to where the game is. You know, the ESPN, Fox, whoever's broadcasting the game, we're going there. We're going to watch the game. But we're not necessarily taking our conversational cues from one particular place. So, like, the fact that they don't have games on ESPN anymore, no offense to your employer, I don't think it's going to matter for them. It's not going to keep anybody out of the playoffs. People are going to stop talking about Ohio State and Michigan just because, you know, they're not on College Football Live all day.
You know, Andy, I'm glad you said that. And I work at ESPN, and I found that take of some of our colleagues to be really out of touch with reality. This is 2022, and you mentioned it. You can get information anywhere, anytime, any place. And it's not as if Fox is not going to fill that void on Saturday morning with something else. It's pretty obvious what they're going to do. And what the Big Ten is going to do. And quite frankly, you're right about the money, but it just from a perception standpoint, I think it was a really good week for the Big Ten. Not that that takes away from any of the SEC bravado. It's going to be there primarily because the SEC wins the game that matters. And I'm not sure anything has changed in relation to that. But what does it all this mean, by the way, since we're talking about the SEC? To the SEC, as Greg Sankey sits there and watches the attention go elsewhere, does that motivate him to make a move, whatever that move could be?
I don't think it necessarily changes much for them because, you know, I still feel like the UCLA-USC move was in response to the SEC picking up Texas and Oklahoma. I don't know that the SEC needs to go on the offensive. I think that the 16 they've got are pretty good. If they could pick the ones they wanted and get what they wanted, which I still think because of the fact that they have a very successful cable network and that doesn't necessarily matter in all expansion stuff, but does matter for them because they make a bunch of money off of it. And in fact, we're on it right now. But, you know, Virginia and North Carolina actually probably are the two most attractive for them if that's what they wanted to do. But again, that ACC grant of rights, I'm not sure anybody's going to break it. And, you know, just talking to people in the SEC, I think that they're not going to act like they want to have them break it. They're not going to put themselves in any danger of getting sued. So those ACC schools would have to figure that out themselves if they wanted to do anything different. So I think the 16 the SEC has, the plan they have going forward, they're going to be just fine. And really it'll come down to Greg Sankey and Kevin Warren hashing out what the college football playoff's going to look like, how those games, you know, how participation that gets paid out. Because I think that's the next step is they're going to split a bunch of money with that. I would imagine it'll go to several different networks that they'll cut it up, and there'll be a lot of money involved. And is it a deal where the more teams you get in, the more money you make? Well, I would say that benefits the SEC and the Big Ten, but maybe the SEC a little more.
Andy, you said something interesting a minute ago, and I understand the principle of it, but maybe for those who only look and see – hey, Clemson's won two national championships. Florida State has won one recently and others previously. Why would you say that Virginia and North Carolina would be more attractive to the SEC, assuming that we come to that point?
It's the conversation that we all had 10 years ago when that round of realignment was going on and we were at Pete Cable, you know, we all pay for, if we get the SEC network, we pay for it. Whether we see it broken out on a cable bill or not, we are paying for it. And, you know, that amount could be slightly over a dollar within the footprint per month per subscriber. That adds up. So North Carolina and Virginia are the two most heavily populated states that don't have an SEC or a Big Ten school. So if you want to say, where would the money be for two conferences that have successful cable channels, as both of them do, that's where the money would be. Because you do get the brand power of each. The brand power of, say, Clemson and Florida State probably is more than that. But that's real money, you know, millions of people, dollar or so per month, over and over and over again, that adds up.
Talking to Andy Staples. Andy, let's get to the field because that is what ultimately draws those eyeballs wherever they are. As you and everyone else makes that turn from all the off-the-field stuff, what intrigues you the most heading into the season?
Well, you mentioned that Dear Andy question I got about Georgia's offense. It started out with, you know, can we just say that Stetson Bennett's good at quarterback? And I'm happy to say that. Stetson Bennett's good at quarterback. I know there's still people out there who think Carson Beck or Brock Vandegrift's going to overtake him, but it sure feels like it's his offense. And I think the way he played in the national championship game definitely justifies that. And so what will Georgia's offense be? And it's interesting to me because, you know, we've been watching all these defenses get smaller and smaller and smaller to deal with spread offenses. I mean, Nick Saban's talked about this a million times. They weren't equipped physically to play with the Ole Miss of 2012, 13, 14, Texas A&M when they got in the SEC. So they had to change what their people looked like. Instead of 260-pound Dante Hightower, in the middle at linebacker. Now that person weighs in the 230s. You know, now their outside linebackers would have been safeties before. Well, it's a cyclical sport. So what do you do if everybody got small? Well, you get big. And that's what you're going to see from Georgia. You've got Brock Bowers is their best receiver. He happens to be a 230-pound tight end. But they've also got Darnell Washington, who he only caught 10 balls, but he averaged 15 yards a catch. He's 6'7", 265. You know, you post on 3rd and 5, you post him up 6 yards down the field. Who on the defense is supposed to cover him? And then they bring in Eric Gilbert, who is the LSU transfer. He played for them as a freshman in 2020, and he's 255 pounds, and he can move. And all of a sudden, you add them to some pretty good receivers on the outside. You know, A.D. Mitchell, we last saw him catching a touchdown pass for the national title. Then you've got Dominic Blaylock coming back healthy, Kyrus Jackson coming back healthy. All of a sudden, it's tough to cover these guys because they're going to go huge. Like, they could go 5 wide if they wanted to. They could go 4 wide, and 2 or 3 of them could be over 230 pounds. These defenses now are not equipped to deal with that. So I'm fascinated to see what those matchups look like because I think Georgia can really take advantage of that.
Andy Staples, always fun to check in with Andy. We will see you soon, Andy. Thanks so much for the time as we begin the program here on a busy, busy Friday afternoon. Your phone calls around the corner. We will talk to Scott Rabelais a little bit later on about the LSU quarterback situation. And how about this? The father of the BCS, one of the great gentlemen in college football history, the legendary Roy Kramer, the former SEC commissioner, joins us later to talk about the chaos in the sport.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So it is late summer, and we asked the question, what's the best late summer vacation you've ever had? Mine is being here today. Why go on vacation when you can spend time with people like Squirrel from Mississippi?
And ironically, my favorite vacation, as I posted on your question, is my vacation today here in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. And waited for the weather to break and fixing to put the boat in the water here in about an hour or two and be back in around midnight. But great shows this week, very interesting topics. But I'd like to talk about AC for a minute, if you don't mind.
No.
You do realize he's a plant, don't you, from another radio station?
I didn't know that. Which station is that?
Are you familiar? Well, look, I've been me, and I know Legend, and a couple other people, since April, have been getting messages, private messages on Twitter from these stations called, like one of them's called ESPN Coastal with mm-hmm. a 912 area code. And then there's another one called Eve Sports with a 502 area code and some show called The Game with a 704, and they put in their time slots and kissing our ass and trying to get us to call in and all that. and it turned into that, converted into AC. That's AC. Because they're always talking about AC and those messages and this and that. And, you know, I never took the bait. But he's a plant. He's an ESPN plant from some shows, and they're just trying to get your callers to call into their stations. And ironically, only one of your callers bit, and guess who it is? That racist I-man who's only got 3 half-black grandchildren. And if he wasn't racist, he'd have 4 or 5. But thank you for taking my call. Aloha.
AC is up next in Canada.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fine.
By the way, AC, is that accurate that you're a plant from another station?
Didn't I tell you I have my boys? How many times do I have to repeat it? I'm working with lots and lots and lots of people. And by the way, I highly doubt Mr. I-Man is racist. I mean, here's my problem, Mr. Feinbaum. Let's talk about last night. Jim from Tuscaloosa, that sore loser, you went after your one of the producers, Mr. Luke. I mean, golly, this guy is new. Give this guy a break. And if someone recognizes my number, just like the producer, I guess it was Benny Brand, he recognized my number. Hey, AC, did you go to Canada? Yes, I did. It did not bother me that he recognized my number. Even if someone says, Paul Feinbaum Show, who's this? Sure, I can give them my name. What? Just give me a reason what this guy wants, Mr. Feinbaum. He calls the show. He says he's going to quit. We already know, dude, you quit. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows you quit because I made you quit. Is that necessary to go after a producer, Mr. Feinbaum? Can you please explain that to me?
Well, it's not only what he said on the air, it's what he said to another one of our producers off the air, which would get him banned from any show in America, including this one.
But here's the thing, Mr. Feinbaum. Your station allows you to talk about different things. Do you think Jim from Tuscaloosa will be able to call ESPN and just go on and on? They'll shut him off, and they'll never take his call ever again. I'm speaking from my experience.
Well, here's the deal. He is welcome to call back, but only after he apologizes to the individual that he used an absolute barnyard obscenity to yesterday. And that was after accusing me of being un-American, unpatriotic,
and whatever else
he said.
But here's the thing, Mr. Feinbaum. See, the lack of education for our average American is garbage. I mean, why would you say something, just hypothetical, Mr. Feinbaum, if you really took a shot at this country, do you think ESPN is going to have you in their contract? No, they would not. They would fire you a long time ago. Am I right or wrong, Mr. Feinbaum?
I know one thing. I don't know about that because I don't know their policy, but I know one thing. They would not fire me for defending the group of people that I defended that he was upset
Absolutely.
About.
That's right. No. If he said something un-American, let's say he's taking a cheap shot at the country, most likely you're going to lose your job, all right?
I really don't know because one thing about this company, there have been plenty of people that have said a lot of controversial things, and I have no earthly idea what the disposition, because I really don't care what happened. That's not my job.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. You said Jim should apologize. The question is, when was the last time did he apologize?
I don't really know when the last time he apologized, but I know that the only way he's ever coming on here again is if he apologizes to Jamari, one of our producers.
Oh, no. He just apologized to your entire team.
No, I'm not concerned about that. I am more concerned about the personal affront that this man who claims to be whatever he claims to be, and everybody knows who just told me yesterday he's not going to judge anyone. But he would say what he said to this individual who just simply answered the phone.
You have a nice staff, all right? He needs to owe an apology to brother Luke, Mr. Jamari, and your entire staff.
We will decide that, okay? I appreciate your insight, but I've decided what's necessary. I don't know about anybody else, but that's how I feel.
He needs to owe you an apology, Mr. Feinbaum. He needs to also owe you an apology.
I'm going to stop it now. I don't want an apology. I made that very clear yesterday. The only thing I want is what I just asked for. And until that happens, then I'm just going to consider him the low-lying scumbag that I think he is. Let's continue with more phone calls. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Oh, JC, talking about etiquette, that's a little strange, an oxymoron. Anyways, let's hope Jim gets back. He's one of your legacy callers. But
good, great.
I was going to talk about Tim Brando, but first I had to recap some highlights for my daughter last night at dinner, and all I could think of was Legend, the blend of Elmer Gantry and Huey Long sounds better when he's off his meds. Don't you agree?
A little bit, yeah, I think so. he was definitely all over the place.
And I tried to explain to my daughter why he's fleeing to Canada. I said he hates America. No, he loves America and hates Americans, correct? I think it was that.
Yeah, John, I'm going to let AC's rhetoric stand on its own merit or lack of.
And all Florida fans are forever humble, per Zach. And then Alabama fans took you to task for being blasphemous about St. Nick. And
well,
finally...
Yeah. That was blasphemous.
Yeah. And then Gentleman Jeff admonished you for being confrontational with callers. And those were the highlights I shared with her.
Pretty good.
But speaking of Jeff, I kind of agree that we should get Tim Brando on. I haven't liked him. I think, and this is not a package deal with Danny Sheridan. He's got the personality of an undertaker. But I think Tim really knows the sport. I like listening to him, and he does well with your callers. But I looked at his top 10 list, and I found it interesting because Clemson wasn't in the top 10. And in fact, he had Ohio State number one. And the way I see the playoffs is obviously Ohio State and Alabama will get in. But if Georgia ends up being a one-loss team and you have teams like Utah in the Pac-10, Pac-12, you have Oklahoma in the Big 12. I mean, and Clemson, if they're all undefeated, they could be in the top four.
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt about that. Hey, John, thanks for the call.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And we're back, and Bubba is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, what's shaking, Pablo? How you doing today?
We be in.
Did Jim call you a pissant yesterday?
That word, well, there was a guy that used to call me that all the time, and I think we were just regurgitating that information.
Oh, okay. I thought Jim had called you that. I was
no, that would have been that would have been one of the classier things that he said had he said it.
Well, honestly, I thought Jim might have got past the letter M in the dictionary on the word moron and got up to the P's and found a word, but evidently I was mistaken.
I don't think he's gotten that deep into a dictionary yet.
No, I don't think he has either. But anyway, I just want to make a few comments about the Tennessee fan base right now. Everybody's running around, and they're all butthurt because they think they got slighted in the top 25 coaches poll. And honestly, I don't think Tennessee needs to be in any poll until they earn their way into a top 25. And everybody just needs to get over that, and I think we'll be better off.
Well, you know, all that stuff doesn't really matter. It's primarily for fans to get excited and to jump up and down. But thanks for the
call. Absolutely.
Bubba, appreciate your call. You take care of yourself. Michael is in Knoxville. Hey, Michael.
Happy Friday, Paul. I got a quick question for you. And this is kind of an offbeat question. But if you took your show and divided it into two segments, one segment for some of these guys that talk about everything but football, and the other one for the serious football fan, which segment do you think would get more viewers?
Probably the one that's not talking football, because, I mean, the other stuff you can see elsewhere. You can't hear the insanity up and down the dial, can you?
That's true. That's very true. And one more quick comment. I really enjoyed the caller of several days ago who played for Shug Jordan at Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
I wish we could get more people who used to play for these old football coaches to call in and give us quick stories and hear what it was really like back in the day.
You know, I agree with you on that. Those are maybe because I knew some of these guys, and that guy I didn't know. He was before I started covering sports. But that's a great call. Thanks for the call. Dave is in Missouri.
Hey, Paul, are you ready for some more wild-ass stories when we were teenagers?
That's what I was thinking about today. Let's get some more of those.
Okay. Back when I was a teenager, I had a 54 Ford pickup.
Yeah.
That had a mattress in the back of it.
Okay.
And they called it the banana truck.
The banana truck?
Yeah, the banana truck.
Okay.
And, well, it was yellow. And we double dated one time, and we all packed in to that 54 Ford, and we scored a couple of bottles of Ben Rosé wine from a house because we were underage. And we started drinking that Ben Rosé wine, driving around town, and all of a sudden, we started laughing about everything. I mean, anything. We saw a little old lady walking down the road, and we started laughing hysterically. Well, and then another billboard had a baby on it. Same thing. Well, we realized somebody had probably spiked the bottles of Ben Rosé wine, and that's why we were laughing so hard at everything. But anyway, another thing I wanted to say, oh, yeah, we ended up at Packers Beach, and we decided to go skinny dipping, and we went in there and realized the water was way down at that time, so we were all standing there buck naked.
Hey, you know, if I could interrupt for a second, Dave, I'm just curious. Of all the memories in your lifetime, answer me this. How did you come up with that one today?
This story?
Yeah.
Well, just because I thought it was funny.
Oh, okay.
But apparently not. But anyway,
See, Dave, that's the one thing about comedy. You can tell the same story to five different groups of people, and they will all have a different read on the humor. And that's why a lot of times on sitcoms they have piped in laughter, because some people just don't find certain things funny.
Okay.
I'm just assuming you found this story to be very funny. Am I correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay, stop
and
right
I
there. I'm going to do a poll. Hold on. I'm going to do a scientific poll.
Okay.
Did you find that funny?
Not really.
Okay. We got one non-funny. Jamari, funny or not funny? No. Danny?
Yeah.
Danny said he couldn't follow the details. So that's, you're not funny. You're not funny. I'm going to tell you what. I was interested in the story, especially the part when you got to Peckerwoods.
Yeah.
See, I made it a funny story, okay? I knew I could save that story. Let's go to Kentucky next. Remember the big controversy yesterday between Calipari and Mark Stoops? What do you got, Too Late?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. First time.
Thank you.
Just wondered what you think is an appropriate resolution in the whole deal. What do you think Mitch Barnhart should do about it? I think everybody is pretty much in agreement with Stoops on the deal that he was out of line. So how do you handle it if you're an AD?
And well, I think the thing you have to remember is, first of all, there's already been a lot of damage done. And let me explain why. Auburn has sent out a picture of, not Auburn per se, but Bruce Pearl sent out a picture with Brian Harsin. Who else sent Danny White at Tennessee sent out one talking about the camaraderie there. I think Juracek sent one out about Musselman and Pittman. So it's been a PR disaster for John Calipari. And the fact that he was not quick enough to try to undo it is only going to make it worse. And he's very vulnerable. Every year Cal has a team that can win the final, go to the Final Four and win it all. He did last year. Didn't, you know, got knocked out in the first round. So Mark Stoops has won. John Calipari has taken a big L here for opening his mouth about something that he should have never said. I mean, anybody knows the lay of the land in Kentucky. I mean, you don't have to state the obvious. So I think Mitch will stay out of it. I mean, Mitch doesn't want to go near this one right now.
Do you think it's appropriate for an athletic department to show bias between
we're talking about the University of Kentucky here, where, you know, it's one of the most famous basketball schools in the history of the sport. However, what's really interesting now is the dynamics have changed. We are living in a football-first society, even at Kentucky, where the amount of money coming into football probably outweighs the amount of money coming in for basketball. And by the way, the consistency has been more in favor of football, too. I mean, right now, Cal's record is all over the charts. And I think he's at a very vulnerable point in his career where the one thing he doesn't need to do other than the one thing, first of all, he doesn't need to get knocked out of the first round of the NCAA tournament anymore. But secondly, he doesn't need to make unforced errors, as John Clay said yesterday. And he diminished the football program. I mean, he can talk his way out of it, and I'm sure he will. He can say he didn't mean it. He can say he supports it. But everyone knows what he said yesterday. And the fact that can you imagine Adolph Rupp having to make that statement in the past, or Rick Pitino, or anyone else in the pantheon of Kentucky basketball? That's the kind of statement you don't need to make, because most people assume what the pecking order is at the University of Kentucky, although it's changing. We'll take a short break. Back with much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back, and it's great to have all of you here. And what a day. Let's continue with more phone calls and check in with Gino in California. Hello, Gino.
Hey, how you doing, Paolo?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I'm the one who corrected you the other day, but I'm not going to do that anymore after what happened the other day with that caller who disrespected you. I didn't think that was very cool. So I'm going to start off by complimenting you and try to make my call a narrative, but please have some patience with me because I have a monkey mind. So I did a little research, and I just wanted to tell you how impressed I am that you took a poli-sci degree from Tennessee and parlayed it into a television program. I mean, Bubba, that's amazing.
Oh.
And the other, what was that?
I feel like it's Friday night at my mother's Sabbath table.
So, and here are my questions. I did a little research about USC Notre Dame and Ohio State versus the SEC.
Okay.
Because I noticed you have callers from all over the country. And what I found out is that all three of those have winning records against the SEC in total. You know what I mean? And the Hall of Fame, you know, candidates and the amount of college athletes drafted, they're all dominated. Those two categories are dominated by SC, Notre Dame, and Ohio State as well. So I don't think anyone should believe that the SC dominating this year's college football season is a fait accompli either. You know what I mean?
I'll raise you your fait accompli. Listen, I don't know what that has to do with the current season. Do you?
Well, no. I mean, there seems to be a lot of faith in the SEC dominating everybody. I mean,
Gino, it's not based on faith. It's based on the last 15 years.
That's true. But things are about to change, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And why
is that?
Well, you know, the money, of course, that's what makes the world go round, isn't it, Paul? I mean, money
is critically important, but I don't know how.
Yeah.
Let's say another $50 to $100 million in the coffers at Ohio State, Michigan, SC. Is that really going to? To me, the money helps the middle of the pack maybe more than it does the upper echelon, because I mean they already have the facilities, they have the infrastructure, and most of those schools, if not all of them, already have the coaches.
Right, but the SEC keeps stealing all those California quarterbacks and players, right? So,
well, but, that, yeah,
uses
but
all the money they have to retain them.
Gino, you're right. Matt Corral came from California. Bryce Young, Oregon.
Everybody.
Had, all, but mm-hmm. And I do agree with you.
JT Daniels.
Exactly. I think, look how he worked out. I think Lincoln Riley has already changed the dynamics. Even before going to the Big Ten, he had made and what Lincoln Riley has that nobody out there has had, I think, since Pete Carroll is he's got the support of the people that really matter, both in the media. I mean, Colin Cowherd might as well dress up every day as a USC cheerleader as often as he promotes that program, and he's an important voice. So that matters. I'm not saying that disparaging fashion. I like Colin. We're friends, but he's important. He matters. That has not happened lately because USC is really, and part of the problem was Helton. He just was not a very good coach.
He was
a dull guy who couldn't move the needle.
Oh my
so,
God. And I then, loved when he stood on the sideline with his mouth wide open during the game. That was very impressive.
But you know the biggest problem at SC, though, in addition to mm-hmm. him, it's been a collection of buffoons at the athletic director position.
Yeah.
And now I think you have a legitimate AD.
Uh-huh. Let me get my two questions in because I know you like to jump real quick to another caller.
You got
so,
it.
The one is, at what college site did you see the most beautiful woman?
Well, I mean, that's a phenomenal question, Gino, and if I answer it, I'm immediately going to get fired.
Amazing.
So.
And here's the other one. Can I call you back one day and ask you about the 1978 USC-Alabama game where we came into Legion Field there in Birmingham? Can I ask you about that on another call some other? All right, thank you.
Gino, thank you. Yeah, that's he's come a long way from the correction of my French. Ray is in San Antonio. Hello, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
Hey, Paul, I wanted to write what I feel is a great wrong. I'm an Aggie, class of 1980, and, you know, many times it's been said by various people that the reason that A&M was 8-4 last year was because of sub-quality quarterback. Have you heard that before?
I have, yes.
So, in my estimation, I think that that's an excuse because Zach Calzada, while he may not be a 4- or 5-star quarterback, he's a gamer. I watched him during the Alabama game, and I watched him get hurt 3 times. And all 3 times.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.